Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the second guest show. Mike DeTellier, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside, right here in Mississippi.
The Who That Nation's representing.
Yeah, yeah. You know Grant, he don't have a miss, so he's got that perfect attendance. We got him checked off. He's always here, and you can hear him.
He's the old school perfect attendance. Joey's the new school.
Perfect attendance. So, we appreciate them coming here at the Silver Slipper. Bob and I will be on until 6:30 tonight, and it'll be a special edition of the Saints Coaches Show, again with a short week. Mike also will be host, and Mickey Loomis, Executive Vice President, General Manager of the Saints, will be the guest tonight, along with Saints Strength and Conditioning Coach Dan Dalrymple will be on. And then Monday Night Football right here on the Big 870. Seattle Seahawks, the Washington football team.
Boy, Seattle's going a different direction. And Washington has kind of turned the corner. The 49ers, Mike, look, you never know. Washington comes up with a big upset as of late. Boy, it's amazing the roller coaster that you see in the NFL.
Bob, it's nonstop.
Who could go on that 2 or 3 game winning streak? It seems like all of a sudden, then you give your fans hope.
And then who gets hot later in the year? Because we saw it happen with the Bucs last year. They got hot late in the year, and their defense, they were able to get back Vita Vey, and man, he's a big force in the middle. And man, Fournette, how about him yesterday? 3 rushing touchdowns. Caught a touchdown.
He was the difference maker.
And the coach put up quite a fight, but just wasn't enough to beat Tampa Bay. A lot to talk about, certainly, and we're going to talk a lot about the LSU head coaching search. And I've said this many times because I've been a part of it in different searches for coaches in the past. It's 13, maybe a 14th because I'm on the edge of doing another one. And I'm not involved in LSU's one, so – let me just say that. But, man, so many names being thrown out. And it's what happens in coaching searches. You can't believe everything, but you better believe a little part of it. And I know that doesn't make a lot of sense, does make sense.
Yeah, before we go to the Saints, I know we're kind of jumping the gun a little bit about LSU here. But, come on, don't you have to land a whale, a big fish? You can't get a minnow.
Nope. And you look back, Bob, at Scott's track record. He's always been the guy to try to land the big fish. He got Chris Peterson away from Boise State, go to Washington. He goes to A&M, and he lands Jimbo from Florida State.
To A&M?
He goes to LSU, and a lot of people originally thought, there's no way Kim Mulkey's leaving Baylor to come to LSU. And, man, it was quick. Bang. Kim's in Baton Rouge. Now, the baseball search was a little bit of a tricky road.
But it still was a big hire, big time.
Still, because I think Jay's a really good coach. He probably wasn't the ABC guy. Yeah, it was probably a couple guys that turned it down. And Scott's not going to tell you, but it was obvious. He went sort of game hunting, and he didn't land it. But, man, Jay Johnson, I think, is going to end up really being a star coach at LSU. And I think it's obvious here with LSU's search that he had his eyes on Jimbo Fisher off the bat.
Yeah, Jimbo Fisher and then Lincoln Riley.
And Lincoln Riley.
That didn't happen.
And the president of the school wanted Mel Tucker. We're going to talk to Ross Dellinger at 4:40. Bob, you know what his buyout clause is, Mel Tucker, on his contract?
What is like? Is it a Brinks truck? I mean,
$2.5 million.
$2.5 million, that's nothing.
That's what I said. No, Ross will break it down, but that's what's being revealed. And that's absolutely zip in today's age. And then yesterday on certainly some of the pregame shows for the NFL, it was revealed that not only did LSU and other schools show some interest in Mel. That was no offer, but interest in Mel. So did some NFL teams.
Well, that's also, listen, what would be a whale to me, because this day and age we live in, if coach, I mean coach, if AD Woodward could swallow his pride, Lane Kiffin.
Bobby's not going to hire Lane Kiffin. Okay, I'm just telling you.
I'm just telling you. Okay, look at the Cardinals and their success. Lane Kiffin can go anywhere. He can go to NFL, and I think LSU fans would embrace him as that's a whale right now at this day and age. Because you look at Kingsbury, what he's doing with the Cardinals. That's what I think. Now, I don't know, off the field, social media, and what LSU's dealing with, that might be a different animal.
It might be something you don't want to walk, those grounds you don't want to walk on. But come on, just like with Billy Napier, and I'd heard from people who were involved, they told me Billy was never seriously considered, was not talked to, and I think the same thing is with Lane.
Well, you might say, well, who's had success and what have you done for me lately, like Mark Stoops? That's a patasa. I mean, come on. That's a fish. But how many games has he ever won double digits at Kentucky?
No, he hasn't.
No, and I think he'll have success. But
listen, but how many teams would
–
how many coaches would have in his spot?
You mean at Kentucky?
At Kentucky.
No, he's done a great job.
You brought up that stat when they were undefeated playing LSU. Last time something like that happened, Bear Bryant was in Kentucky.
Yes.
That goes to show you.
I think it was like six games in a row they won.
Frank Kersey, he was name, image, license, paying players long before it was legal.
Yeah, he
had it rolling.
He was 40 years ahead of his time.
Yeah, at least. Yeah. And so he had that particular deal going. But, and again, a lot of people throwing names out today from Brian Kelly at Notre Dame, one of the guys I brought up to you yesterday. Oh, Matt Rhule, and it's obvious Matt is not going to work in the NFL. And for college coaches, a lot of times it doesn't.
Well, the greatest coach in college football history, they work in the NFL, Nick Saban.
What did Spurrier do?
Steve Spurrier with the Redskins, the Washington football team, he didn't work out. And you got to know your wheelhouse. Now, that's why I respect, like, Jimmy Johnson, Pete Carroll.
They were able to do it. And Pete was fired twice in the NFL.
And then he goes to USC, turns that around. Wins a national championship. I'd be shocked if Lincoln Riley don't have success at USC. And you have success at USC, I'm going to tell you what, you're dealing with the Pac-12. You're not dealing with a stacked SEC, and you're trying to get to the postseason. So Lincoln Riley, and you look at USC, name, image, and likeness. What if you had a modern-day Reggie Bush playing for USC? Oh, my God. You're going to be a pro before you're a pro. You're going to be a pro coming out of high school. Well, you have to achieve something. But the money there is like unbelievable. There's a reason why they have, in Los Angeles, they have two NFL teams, two NBA teams, two Major League Baseball, and two NHL hockey teams. There's so many freaking people, and if you recruit, get the right players, how can USC not be relevant?
They've been underachievers
as of late.
And you talked to me about this yesterday, weather. Okay, yeah, you might have to deal with the earthquake situation,
fires, but I mean
weather situation.
You don't even need an air condition. I mean, if you live where rich people live, it's like never gets too cold or too hot. Oh, it's so expensive, taxes. But you can have so much money that it's irrelevant. It doesn't even hurt you. So if you're coaching, you're getting paid the big bucks. That's why I want to know what Lincoln Riley's getting paid at USC.
I'm glad you brought that up because you told me to do some homework, and I did, and this is coming from sources close to the USC program. $110 million contract.
Oh, my God. There's a lot of people that would go to San Diego and L.A. for that. I can tell you right now.
They are buying him a $6 million home in L.A. for his use. He has unlimited use of the private jet 24/7 for his family, and USC has decided to buy both his homes in Norman for $500,000, over asking price, over $1 million bonus.
Well, and you don't have to contend with the SEC, because he was ticked off when Oklahoma wanted to go to the SEC.
Didn't like that.
Because, listen, even Oklahoma's roster, there's not enough players in Oklahoma. It's a bunch of Texans. And they always get Texas players to go to Oklahoma. And you look at the Mike California. I remember Coach O when he was there with Pete Carroll. And you just draw, like, there's 13.5 million people. Just keep the players at home. Don't let them go to Oregon because that's kind of the competition, Phil Knight and Nike and all that. Just get them to stay at home, and you're dealing with the Pac-12. If you're impressive because it's a national brand, and you win the Pac-12 and you run the table, you're in the playoffs, Mike. And that's what USC is looking at right now.
And that what you bring up, that name, image, license, we're living in a different world today where these 17, 18-year-old young men, they know all about that.
Yeah, you got
much better than we do.
The alumni, Steven Spielberg, Will Ferrell and all them, you know, they get to hang out with the team when they're winning and all that. They'll take care of the stud players. I'm telling you, watch the next Reggie Bush. If they have that type of player at USC, like I say, he's going to be a pro before he's a pro.
I remember Ed telling me when they recruited Reggie, he had sort of verbally committed to Washington. And they came in sort of late with
Reggie.
Yeah,
Washington, Oregon, that's what, you know, USC in the Pac-12.
And Washington was relevant back then.
Right.
A very relevant team. They came in late, him and Pete, and they were able to get him away, and he went to USC instead. And Matt Leinart was a guy that he was not settled on USC. Just think about what those two guys did to sort of change the program completely.
Because the USC people don't like it, because you know who's relevant now in UCLA? Now, it's still college football. They don't have the tradition of USC, but look at UCLA, what has occurred. Mike, what they won 8 games right now? They beat USC. They just beat Cal. I mean, they're not as weak as you think. I can't think of his name now.
No. I'm thinking about Notre Dame.
Come on, help me out here. I'm thinking I could see his face and everything. He went to the Eagles. He didn't work out with the Eagles, and now he's done a good job at UCLA.
He had to rebuild that program.
I can't remember his name.
But to me, at one time, we grew up, USC and UCLA were really relevant in college football. Can't say that today.
No.
An 8-win UCLA team in the Pac-12?
They both not relevant, and that's why.
Not as relevant as Oregon or even Utah.
And because of the TV audience, they would love USC to be relevant again.
They would, because of what you – or what you're going to get is Chip Kelly.
Chip Kelly, yeah. It was one of them Kellys.
I don't know, Brian, because I'm getting so many texts now about Brian Kelly.
Jim Kelly, Chip Kelly, the Kelly family. They're pretty good. That's a good last name.
But it's interesting with Brian Kelly, because a few weeks back, I did a show while I was coming here. A few weeks back, Kirk Herbstreit brought up Brian Kelly's name as a guy he thought might take a serious look at the USC job. Now, Kirk Herbstreit's not going to bring that up unless Brian Kelly told him.
Well, why would Brian Kelly come to the SEC considering
it's a much easier route
at Notre Dame.
Much easier.
Without a doubt to get in the postseason.
Now, again, it's a pressure cooker in Baton Rouge, but ain't no pressure cooker like it is in South Bend, Indiana.
Yeah, because then it's international. They're like the Dallas Cowgirls of college football. Irish.
I mean, you know, NBC's got their own network that play games.
Yeah, exactly.
They ain't splitting that with nobody.
They had COVID and they joined the ACC for 1 year, then they got out, you know.
Yeah.
Other sports, but not football.
And Brian's got a personality that's going to rub some people the wrong way at Notre Dame. And it's been obvious that him and some of the alumni.
All I know is in Baton Rouge, the heat is on. The heat is on.
It'll be quick, Bobby. I think it'll be quick on when they make a decision.
Because they got to do some of recruiting December 15th around the corner.
Already, you had one of the top backs in the state decommit. Look at Oklahoma. You had Lincoln Riley leave, and you had 4 decommitments in less than 24 hours. But, Bob, I think we're going to see more and more of situations like what happened with Lincoln Riley.
Boy, you know it'd be a –
leave to go to another school.
You know,
I just think that everybody's positioning themselves.
I'm telling you right now, you know what's going to be a thorn in the side of LSU right now? You let Napier have success at Florida. And what is Coach O as of late, what they've done against Florida? Win all the time. Not some of the time. Win all the time. What if all of a sudden Florida's relevant and they're more relevant than LSU?
Billy's going to do a really good job.
And he was right here in Lafayette.
Billy.
But then you got some arrogant people. Why are we going to go get a Louisiana Lafayette guy to come to Baton Rouge?
You hit the tail right at exactly. We'll be
go
back.
Go get Lane Kiffin. I'm telling you. Swallow your pride. Get him and the fans. Because he's a visionary for the future. So what if he does a little things off the field? I mean if you win, that's what all matters. Now, LSU has to deal with a few things. That's the problem.
That's, that may be the stick in the ointment, so to speak. We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Back here on the Second Guest Show, Mike D'Attilio along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert.
All of my love.
At 4:40, Ross Dallinger will come on with us and give us all the insights, and certainly a lot of news breaking, not only from Baton Rouge, but also from South Bend, Indiana, that there is some real interest there between both parties, Brian Kelly and LSU. So we'll watch that. Nothing's done until it's done. We've all been through that before, but that, man, that's some strong signals that looks as though LSU has reached out to Brian Kelly. And he may have been the fallback guy on this. And again, I brought up in the first segment, Kirk Herbstreit didn't just repeat that because he heard it on the street. He heard it from the coach that I think Brian was looking to leave for the right spot. And USC went with Lincoln Riley instead. So, man, again, it's another twist and turn in the LSU coaching search for a head coach. Bob, news from the Saints camp today. Taysom Hill looks as though he's going to be the starter Thursday night. The COVID situation has hit the Cowboys. Mike McCarthy will not be on the sidelines. Dan Quinn, former Falcons head coach, will be there as the head coach. Kellen Moore really was calling the plays for him anyway offense. So, you know, Mike, you need somebody to make that final decision. So Dan Quinn will get out of the booth, and he'll be on the sidelines for the Cowboys. Taysom Hill, and I'm going to ask you this because a lot of people are reporting that he may have a plantar fascia injury, and you had that, and you told me you got to get a shot, but it's pretty painful.
Well, the thing is, it could pop on its own. I never forget, we were playing the Rams. We were in the Georgia Dome. I was warming up before the game, and it felt like somebody shot me out of the stands, and I landed, I face planted. I was sprinting out, and I just felt this burning sensation, and it popped, so I was inactive that game, but I was ready to roll the next game. So if it doesn't pop and it lingers, then you have to have a shot to maybe relieve the pain. You have to have the right shoes. People who are flat-footed never have that. It's like...
Well, I'll never get it.
If you have a high arch or an arch in your foot, you see basketball players running up and down on the hard court or distant runners. That's the kind of injury sometimes you're dealing with. And you say, well, just suck it up. Now, the thing is, you could take something for the pain, but the way Taysom Hill runs, you don't want him to have a club foot as far as Hollis foot, how you deaden the pain. Or if you take something orally, I mean, how does that affect you mentally to be able to, you know, produce?
Okay, when yours tore, it didn't happen during the game, did it?
No warm-ups. I was warming up before the game, just going through, and I was fighting through it, and then it just popped. And I swear, I landed right on my face, and then it was burning. And I told June Jones, I said, man, I don't think I could play. If I had to, they had Jeff George, but I couldn't even be the backup. But then next week, I was fine.
And did it pop?
It popped, and you could even do surgery where they would clip it. But that's something you would do in the off season, that type of surgery, but not during the season when you expected Taysom Hill to play. Look, we need Taysom Hill to give us a spark. When you think about this, I thought this was interesting, that Kat Terrell, I think, she's a writer for The Athletic, She says the Saints have put up less than 200 yards of offense just four times in the regular season under Coach Sean Payton. Two of those games were from this year. The other contests were Dallas 2018 and Seattle in 2013. But to this season, no, we need a spark right now. We have not gotten it done offensively. So the way I look at it, we need Taysom Hill to give us that spark come Thursday night against Dallas.
The other thing, too, is, and it's something I know we've talked about since the start of the season, that this COVID thing you're going to have to deal with. It's and I think for years now. I mean, it's going to be with us. And the Cowboys dealing with it. I find it funny, it really hasn't happened even more. The potential of coaches, players not being able to play because of it, and their right tackle won't play.
If you look at it, right tackle Terrence Steele was among the positive COVID-19 tests. He's not going to play against the Saints. We mentioned Mike McCarthy, the head coach. Offensive line coach Joe Philbin is not going to be available. It looks like the strength and conditioning program was definitely involved with dealing with COVID. The Cowboys will be missing members of their staff because of the virus for the third time in four games. So they've had kind of adversity there. But the one thing when I look at what has occurred between the Saints and Dallas, the Cowgirls, as of late, it's been defensive struggles.
Yes.
When you look at the teams have waged, so to speak, defensive slugfest in 2018 and 19. So I would take, based on what happened in 18 and 19, I would take the under. What's the over? We got it yet?
We'll give it in the next coming segment.
I'm
stepping on my toes with that.
Based on what happened in 18 and 19, it was like it's in the teens. It's like low-scoring games. I would take the under based on what happened in 18 and 19 between Dallas and the Saints.
And the way the Saints have played.
Yeah.
The past 2 weeks.
So we need some spark. We can't score. We don't score until the fourth quarter, really, to get it going. So
It's 47.5, just to kind of comment.
I take the under.
And so basically the Cowboys 5-point favorite.
But that's about right, even without Coach McCarthy, because, Mike, you talked about this. Even though he's the head coach and offensive mind, he's not calling the plays.
It's Kellen Moore is.
Kellen Moore. It's like sometimes – I think, Sean and Pete Carmichael, they're both involved. But sometimes Coach Carmichael has called the plays, but Coach McCarthy has really not called the plays. Is that correct? Yeah.
It's Kellen.
Kellen Moore.
Kellen Moore, I think eventually he'll be the head coach with the Cowboys. Because you can see he's Jerry's guy. Almost like Jason Garrett was. And you can tell Kellen eventually will be that guy for the Cowboys. Another thing, too, is wondering about CeeDee Lamb because, man, with him in the line.
He's back.
He puts another element to that offense. Big time.
But it seems like Marshon Lattimore, when he's challenged to guard that type of receiver, he's excelled at a high level.
He didn't do too good against Diggs.
Yeah, that's right. But overall, he has.
Diggs. Ooh, man.
So we paid Lattimore all that money. Come on, here's your chance to redeem yourself, considering what happened with Diggs and the Bills.
Remember a few years back.
Come back. Have a big game against CeeDee Lamb.
Most of the press crew, they leave sort of the beginning of the fourth quarter to get downstairs. You and I were in the – and we watched Antonio Brown when he was with the Steelers work on Lattimore late in that game. Man, and he had Marshawn twirled all the way across the board. Now, most of the time, as you pointed out, Lattimore has played really good up against the top receiver, especially Mike Evans. But that game, man, Antonio had him, and it reminded me a little bit of what Diggs did Thursday.
Where
night.
We at right now, whether Taysom Hill is the quarterback to close out the season or not, our defense can't be good. Or they can't be average. They can't even be very good. They got to be great. Our defense has to be great if we could do anything. When you think about the lack of weapons we've had offensively, our defense has to be outstanding. And they were not against the Bills. They got embarrassed. I mean, they're on the field all the time. Well, get off the field. How about you force a three and out?
We'll be back with more sports talk and Ross Dellinger to tell us about the LSU head coaching search. Right after this break on 8-7. We're back here on Second Guest Show. Mike Dottillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino, Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. On the line now with us from Sports Illustrated, Ross Dellinger. And Ross, thanks so much for joining us. Man, we still got to misconnect with Ross, so we'll have him on in a few minutes. But, Bob, certainly a lot of rumblings now from kind of both angles that LSU has reached out to Brian Kelly from Notre Dame. And we'll see how far this goes because last week it looked as though they had reached out to Lincoln Riley. And nobody made that call, him to SC. And he was right after the game. I am not going to be the head coach at LSU. And he didn't lie, yeah, but he didn't tell you that but the next role, I'm in Southern California.
So how many national championships has Coach Kelly won at Notre Dame?
None.
And when they made the postseason, the Final Four, didn't they get embarrassed? Or you might say, well, we don't have enough of them. When you look at it, I mean, this year they could have had a special season. They would be in the postseason. I guess there's still a light at the end of the tunnel. Depends what happens because the national media wants Notre Dame in the Final Four. But you know what? Who did they lose to? A city school. They lost to Cincinnati Bearcats. It wasn't like they lost to Ohio State.
And their former defensive coordinator.
Come on. So what is he so awesome that we got to bring him on board LSU? No. Desperation in Tiger Town.
All right. We have on the line with us now from Sports Illustrated, Ross Dellinger. Ross, pleasure to have you on tonight. And, man, hopefully this ends real quickly. I know one thing. My text line will be happy about it. But it looks as though there are some real strong indications from both sides, not only in Baton Rouge but also from South Bend, LSU's interest in Brian Kelly. Anything you can add to that?
Well, here's the thing: as journalists, right? One of the big things our responsibilities are is when to report something, right, and what to report. Because if we're reporting that LSU has interest in X candidate, we would be reporting a lot of candidates the last several weeks.
Yeah, LSU has interest in a lot of
candidates.
Every day would be different.
Right. So this is something, certainly the Brian Kelly thing I've heard today, starting last night really loudly. It has. Yep. It's come from different areas. But, again, we've seen a lot of smoke around a lot of candidates the last 8 weeks, and I'm not sold on this one, and there's a reason that we at SI over the last – day, last, 8, 12, 14 hours since we've been hearing about this really loudly, we haven't reported it for a reason. I don't know what's there other than there obviously was some discussion and kicking the tires. But, I mean, it just happened a lot with a lot of candidates.
Yeah.
Well, Ross, I have a question to ask you. This from an LSU fan's perspective as far as a big splash. Who would they take, Lane Kiffin or Brian Kelly? Come on.
Come on. He just finished telling you he heard about the
candidates. No, but I'm just telling you that who you think from your gut feeling as far as a whale, and not like I said, I said patasa, which is a perch, when they hire, you've got to get a whale, which is like a bass. But to me, Lane Kiffin is a big fish. That's a whale. Well, Brian Kelly – it's kind of ho-hum. What does he want at Notre Dame? I mean, they lost to Cincinnati Bearcats or whatever. And, I mean, has he truly won anything? He's been in the postseason, and Notre Dame's got embarrassed. So why is Brian Kelly all of a sudden so special?
Well, you look at, obviously, his track record, where he's been in – he's won a lot of games, right? Probably at the top level, he hasn't won a lot of the biggest games, right? At Notre Dame, he hasn't won a lot of the biggest games. He's lost, I think, every time they've been in the playoff. I don't think he won a playoff game. He's lost a few big bowl games, obviously. But you know, you look at his track record going back to Cincinnati and going back to even Central Michigan, and you go back to Grand Valley State, and he has won an incredible amount of games. I think his winning percentage is for a career is in the high 70s. It's pretty impressive. So I think that is the lore, right? Is you're getting somebody with a track record that's won a lot of football games. And if you think that he's done it with at Notre Dame with the academic requirements and such that Notre Dame has, that, hey, maybe at LSU with the defensive skill players and offensive skill players that he could get, maybe he could win the big game. I guess that's just maybe kind of the feeling, or what might be the feeling if you're looking for reasons of why him. But really, why him? If you just do the process of elimination, you know, if you're talking about a big fish in college football, there are not many left that are attainable right now. It doesn't feel like that. And Scott's MO is to go get, as y'all mentioned, go get the big name. So yep. If you do the process of elimination, there's not a whole lot left.
Ross, one of the things is you covered LSU for a long time and certainly covered Scott. Is that, man, when you're in these coaching searches, and I've told this to Bob before, I've been involved in a few of them in committees, that it's rare you hit the first guy. A lot of times that guy might show interest, but then he might use you to get a better contract, or that's not the school he wants to go to, or whatever. That Scott's built a reputation, no matter where he's been, to land that guy. He got Peterson from Boise State to go to Washington. He got Kim Mulkey to leave Baylor when a lot of people didn't think Kim would leave there. And he got Jimbo to leave Florida State to go to A&M. And I think if everything was, if you put him on the lie detector machine, I think he really wanted Jimbo for this job. He just couldn't land it at this particular point. I agree with you. There are a lot of whales out there. And it may be something. I remember a few weeks back, Kirk Herbstreit making a comment, and Kirk's not going to pull something out of the air, because I really believe when he said, watch Brian Kelly as a serious candidate at USC. Come on. Who told him that? Brian Kelly. Kirk's not going to repeat that unless he's hearing it from the guy himself.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, like you said, you start doing the process of elimination, and you just start coming up with only about 3 to 5 names, and Brian Kelly's one of them. You know, it's going to be fun in the years later to look back on this search and
yep.
and hopefully find out exactly what happened here and there. You know, I'm fascinated what happened last week. You know,
with
the whole
surprised?
Lincoln Riley USC and in Oklahoma.
Were you surprised?
It's going to be an interesting one to look back on.
Were you surprised Lincoln going to USC?
Yeah, I mean, it was stunning. I mean, when you think about it, though, it does. It makes a lot of sense when you think about it.
And I think
a lot. You know, the realignment was a big part of the decision.
Yeah, I agree. It's an easier path for him, and I don't think he wanted to tangle in the SEC. Understanding your path to get to the national championship game is going to be much more difficult in the SEC than it will be out in the Pac-12.
Well, and you know what, Ross, I'm going to leave you with this. Everybody thought Kingsbury's in over his head with the Cardinals. Hello, what is he doing? Who's the next sexy guy like Kingsbury? I mean, come on, Lane Kiffin. Come on. He ain't won anything, but he has a sexy offense that produces.
And, Ross, here's the best thing. Kingsbury's agent, boy, did he hit fast, huh? Cliff Kingsbury is a candidate at Oklahoma. Come on, you know that's really not accurate. But, man, they looking for that extension on that contract in Arizona.
That's right. It's agent season.
Agent fever, man. Thank you, Ross. We appreciate it, bud.
All right, guys. See y'all.
Ross Dallinger, one of the best in the business at SI. We'll be back with more second guests here. Finishing up here on our number one of the second guest show, Mike DeTellier along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We'll have Dave Hilbert on at 5:10, and then we'll open up the phone lines talking about Saints, LSU, coaching search. And at 6:10 tonight, the head football coach from the Southeastern Lions, Frank Selfo, will be on with us. How about Frank, man? Did they put a whipping on Florida?
How about Frank? They're winners. You want to support a winner? Southeastern Lions, they're winners.
Unbelievable, man. And we were talking about Florida A&M's defense. They ain't played nobody like Cole Kelly. Yeah, I tell you, man, that guy can hum it. We'll be back with more second guests here on the Big 870.